of St. Mark. The book of St. Mark. I'm certainly glad you're here. You know, this weather kind of put a person in a funk. You know what I'm saying? You know what a funk is, don't you? Y'all know what kind of a dreary feeling is, don't you? Yeah, you do, because you look like you got it right now. But I got some answers. They may not be the answers you want, but I got some answers. And I want you to listen to this. And I'm not going to exposit this. I just want to use it as a scripture text. And those who pass by, this is at the time of the crucifixion. Jesus is being crucified. And those who pass by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save." And I can't ever read that without ever stopping to say they finally told the truth, the scribes and the Pharisees. He could save others, but he could not save himself. You say he couldn't save himself? Absolutely, he could save himself, literally. He had 12 legions of angels sitting on the precipice of heaven, ready to be dispatched at any moment. If he would have just said the word, they would have came and just literally got him out of this sin-twisted world and just could have turned this world into an inferno. 12 legions. But the deal is, if he had come down, then he couldn't save you and me. He could save others, but he himself can't save. So if he saves himself, he can't save others. You see what I'm saying? "Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Oh, get ready, because I'm telling you, 3 days, he's coming back. "Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." It got dark. "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?'" Oh, y'all didn't know. I just took a stab at that one. "Which is translated," I need a translation, please, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" I want you to be seated. You know, life is full of a lot of questions, I know, because I've got some of my own. And I've got to admit that some of my questions, I still don't have answers. There's some things I have prayed about all of my life, still yet, I don't have an answer. Somebody said, "Is it wrong to ask God and why?" No, it's not wrong to ask God why. It depends on what your motivation is. If you're asking God why in a spirit of doubt and unbelief, that's wrong. But if you've got full faith in God and you just want an answer, because, you know, everybody wants an answer. I like answers, don't you? I like to know what's going on. I like to get the context of what's going on in my life. But you know what? Sometimes God's not hermeneutical. Hermeneutical. Hermeneutics is the right way to interpret the scripture, but it's all about context, context, context. And so we take a scripture here, we take a scripture there, and a lot of times we don't understand that scripture until we put it all in the context. Well, that's what God does. Sometimes he takes something in our life, does something in our life, lets something happen in our life, and we don't quite understand it, and we never get the context to why it's going on. You don't know. You have questions. And sometimes in life, as you look and you pray and you seek God and you wonder, why is this happening to me? Why did this happen to my family? Why did this happen to the one I loved? And you really can't really get an answer. The question is not why, God, aren't you showing up, but why have you forsaken me? Why do I feel this feeling right here? And Lord, I don't care what I'm going through. If I can get in the presence of God, it'll see me through. How many knows what I'm talking about? There's been times that I didn't know. And there's been times that I've been down. There's times I've been discouraged. There's been times I've been blue. There's been times I didn't know the top from the bottom. I didn't know coming in or if I was going out. But I knew this one thing like Job did. He knows the way that I take. And because he knows the way that I take, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him when it's dark. I'm going to trust him when everything doesn't make any sense. I'm going to trust him when I don't have the answers to the questions of life. And that's the whole deal right there. You know, we're going to talk about faith a little bit, but not the kind of faith that you hear on television. Because all the faith you hear on television is your faith is a credit card. If you have faith, you can have this. If you have faith, you can get that. If you have faith, you can have 10 of those. If you have faith, everything in your life, whatever you ask for, you can get. You get. My name is Little Jimmy. I'll take all you give me because I got faith. But how many knows faith is deeper than what God can give to me? My faith is not set on what he gives me. My faith is founded on the fact that he's a sovereign God. He's a living God. He came, he died, they buried him. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he's making intercession for me. And when I don't know how to pray, sometimes the Holy Spirit does. And he prays through me with utterings and things that I don't know. And so thank God he knows even when I don't know. I've got to learn to trust him. Trust him. That's what faith is. I got to be honest. It doesn't make sense sometimes, life that is. Because see, we've been fed this lie. It's a lie. You've been lied to. Who would have thunk it? You mean people would lie to me and preach the gospel? Yeah, they'd lie to you and preach the gospel. They're telling you that if you're a Christian, if you live for God, guess what? Kind of use an Oklahoma term, everything's going to be hunky-dory. You're never going to have a problem. And these guys, I mean, man, they're the experts. And they tell you if you have enough faith, you can be exempt from tragedy, from sickness, from pain. But let me tell you something. Faith can do a lot of things. But there's one thing faith is not. And that is faith is not a magic charm. And faith is not a magic rabbit's tail, okay? It doesn't just bring you good luck and bring you good things in life. It doesn't just ward off all the bad situations in life. Because bad things happen to good people. You know that? And you know what else? Bad things happen to bad people. It rains on the just and the unjust. You have problems just like the rest of us, and you're always going to have problems. And sometimes those problems don't have any answers. And there's just sometimes in life that you just don't know what is going on. What do you do in a time like that? You do what every person in this Bible ever did. And I could give you example after example after example. And that is they learn to trust God. God wants you to trust him. Trust him. Winter, that was a great poem. Went right with what I'm preaching. You've got to trust him even if you can't see him. Yeah, he gives you the evidence. Yes, sir. And thank God for the evidence. You know the greatest evidence in the world is the Word of God? This is not any ordinary book. This is not the Cosmopolitan. This is not the Outdoor Life. This is not anything but the Word of God. I should say it's nothing but the Word of God. And if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And if either I believe it or I don't believe it, it doesn't make any difference. It's still settled. It's still settled. And this is the Word of God, and it gives me evidence that there's a living God in heaven, and it gives me the context to all of my life. That's what the psalmist said. He said, I didn't understand, almost slipped. I saw the prospering of the wicked, and man, it just seemed like, man, they're living for the devil. I'm going to paraphrase just a moment. They're living for the devil, and man, they got everything going on for them. Doesn't seem like they ever have any problems. They never have any troubles. They just always, you know, everything's just flowing like honey to them. But in my life, everything I touch turns to ashes, and everything they touch turns to gold, and it doesn't make any sense. And said, until I went to the house of God. And when I went to the house of God, I found out that there's more to the story than meets the eye. It's not what's going on now. It's what you know is going to happen. And the evidence is here, but sometimes you just got to trust. And sometimes you just got to wait. And sometimes if you'll just hold on a little bit longer, God will show up. What's the scripture? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But here's the deal. You got to wait sometimes. And waiting is not easy. Waiting is trusting.
waiting and waiting is saying, God, I'm going to put my hand in the hand of the man that steal the water, and I may not know everything that's going on in my life, but I trust this, and everything will be working out for my good eventually. That's trust. Trust.
During the blitz of in World War II over England, when Nazi Germany, under the command of a murderous maniac, Hitler, dropping bombs and trying to destroy the spirit of the English people. Thank God they didn't. And during one of these night raids, they begin to drop the bombs, and one man dashed out of his house, and bombs were going everywhere with his son. As he came out of the house, he saw where a bomb had hit in front of his house, and it bore out a great big hole, and he thought to himself, that's the only place I know I can hide. So he jumped down into the hole. He looked up at his son with the burning building behind him as a silhouette. And he said, son, jump. And he said, son said, Dad, I can't see you. And the man said, son, you may not be able to see me, but trust me, I can see you. So jump. Have I ever lied to you? No. Have I ever let you down? No. Have I ever led you astray? He said, no. He said, son, I'm asking you to trust me one time more. Just trust me. If you'll trust me, I promise you I will catch you. And the little boy leaped into the dark without seeing anything. And guess what? He was caught by his father. And there they sat for the rest of that night as the bombs were blowing up all around them. You know, sometimes that's the way it is in life. Sometimes I can't see the Lord. Sometimes I don't know what's happening. How come this has happened? Why does this happen? And I can't see God in it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I can see God when I get a bonus, amen. I can see God when somebody hands me one of the Pentecostal handshakes, you know, and it's got $100 bill in it. Amen. Oh, praise God. God was in that one. I can see God when somebody says, hey, preacher, I want to take you down and buy you a new suit. And hey, I just killed a cow. I'm going to give you half a. Man, I can see God in all of that. Do you? Well, how come you ain't been listening to him then? Just kidding. Just kidding. But seriously, when the good things are happening, it seems like we can see God. When you can see God, you see God. And man, it doesn't take much faith when you see God. Somebody say amen. It doesn't take much faith when you see the things that are happening around you and you see the miraculous and the supernatural. But it takes a little more faith and it takes a little more grit in the soul to say, I'm going to believe God come heaven, hell, high water. I'm going to believe God whether I can see or whether I can't. And the Lord said, go ahead and jump and I'll catch you. Have I ever failed you? No, God. You've never failed me. Have I ever lied to you? No, God's never lied to me. Just believe me this time and jump one more time. And guess what? It probably won't be the last time. But he will never fail you. He'll never lie to you. And he'll always be there. But you've got to trust him even though you can't see him sometimes. Amen. Lots of things don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense when you stand in the funeral home, looking at the loved one that you loved so much and they were so young. You're asking the question, why? Why? It doesn't make any sense when your spouse of 10 or 15 or 20 years comes to you and says, I don't love you anymore, but I have found someone I do. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense when the doctor says, your condition is not going to get any better. But as a matter of fact, it's going to get worse. It's a terminal thing and it's going to get you. Can I just tell you, everybody in here is terminal. Do you know that? Hello. Somebody said, man, I just got the worst news of my life. I've got, worst news of your life is you hadn't accepted Christ. And if you die, you can die with cancer. You can die with diabetes. You can die with all the diseases that this world can throw upon you. But you can't die in your sin without the blood of Jesus Christ. And there are going to be a lot of people that are on this earth that are going to die in the most terrible ways. But when they rise in the morning, when they step through the veil, it'll all make sense then. Because God has a plan. And it's not always the answer in front of me. Does it make sense? Oh, yeah, I know these super-powered faith preachers. I've listened to them, man. They're getting worse, to be honest with you. They used to be bad, but, man, they're even getting worse. One guy said, I heard it with my own ears, said, I can't fly on airplanes. I had to buy my own $20 million airplane because I can't fly commercially. Because I like to talk to God when I'm flying. And if I talk to God while I'm flying, he said, all those people around me, they're not going to understand. I said, man, I might be sitting beside you. You're putting me down. I don't have a jet. Yet. I'm never going to have a jet, okay? I don't want a jet. I'm perfectly fine with commercial. But what I'm saying, now they're making up stories and lies. But I want you to know, they'll tell you, if you have faith in God, you'll never get sick. You'll never have a sore throat. You'll never have a headache. You'll never have a flat tire, ingrown toenail, post-nasal drip. I mean, there's just this faith realm you can live in, people. If you live in faith like I do, be sure to put that $50 in the offering plate because it'll bless me and it'll bless you. And you can live in the same realm. I tell you what, I don't live in the same realm those guys do. I don't live in this faith realm that's an illusion. That's all it is. I live in the realm of the reality. In the realm of, I want you to know, it's called reality. Reality check. And it doesn't take nothing but a flat tire or ingrown toenail to make you know that this life is temporal. This life is short. And I'm sorry, I don't swallow this illusionary Alice in Wonderland kind of doctrine because the realm of the reality tells me in this world I shall have tribulations. And in this world, if I've been born of a woman, I'm few days and full of trouble. If I live in this world, I will have tribulation and persecution. I must bear a cross and follow him. Where's the cross at today? Where's the suffering for Jesus today? We're trying to eliminate it. But let me tell you something. Faith can do a lot of things, but it cannot eliminate the cross. The cross is the plan of God for your life. I don't have time to get to it because I'm actually getting ready to preach on that. So don't want to give you both sermons today. I know what some of y'all are thinking. It's all good. I meant to tell y'all I won't be preaching as long as I did. This is the new and improved Guy Parrish. I think you're going to like him. Yeah, I preached a little long on Easter. I'm sorry. I stayed up till 5 o'clock. Man, I had all that word in me. I just couldn't get it out in 30 minutes. I'm sorry. And your service got over before mine did, and you left, so that's okay. It's all good. I'm still preaching. but I'm telling you, sickness is real. You can't escape it. How in the world can you escape sickness if you live in a fallen body? It'd be different if you had a glorified body. You don't. Oh, I know you think your body's glorified, but it ain't. Sorry for the bad English, terrible English there, grammar. It's not. I'm telling you, we're all susceptible to tragedy. We're all susceptible to broken dreams and broken hearts and messed up lives. And we're all susceptible to cancer and poverty and all these things. But you see, here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is what you got to get right here. My faith is not always going to get me out of those things. I'm not saying it won't. I'm not saying there's times that I've been sick and God healed me. He healed my heart when I was 17 years old. And I told you that story, and I know God healed my heart, and I'm still going on for God, and my heart's doing good. Amen. As far as last time I checked. But I want you to know, it's not always like that. Yes, he heals, and yes, he delivers, and yes, there's power in faith. And you ought to believe God when you're in hell, and believe God that God's going to bring you out. I'm not talking about the literal hell. I'm talking about the hell in your life. You've got to trust God. But if the answer doesn't come, and you don't get your deliverance, he's not always trying to get us out of it, okay? He's trying to get us through it. If we can just realize that's what faith is. It's not getting us out of everything. It's getting us through everything we've got to go into. Because that is the will of God. You've got to go through. The three Hebrew children, notice that they were outside looking in, and they said, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and no doubt about that. But if not, there's the clause to your faith right there. God can do it. But if not, still we're not going to bow. And they threw them in live. It's so hot that the men that threw them in got burned up. I'm giving you the literal translation. The dudes, let me give you the 21st century. The dudes that threw them in got burned up. They were willing to bow. They were willing to say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, that great statue you made, when they play that music, we'll bow down. Everybody bowed down but them three boys. And they said, listen, I'm going to give you another chance on this deal, okay? I'm going to give you one more chance, and if you'll just bow down. And, you know, the king really did like them a lot. He said, if you'll just bow down, and I'm going to use my paraphrase again, if you'll just act like you're just, you know, zipping up your sandals, or, you know, just let's just make a show of this, because, man, you're putting me on the spot. But I'll tell you right now, I like you boys, but I don't like you that much. You make me look bad here. You're going in that furnace. Can he deliver you out of that furnace? He said, oh yeah, he's able. Oh, trust me, he can do it. If he can step out on nothing and say, let there be light, and there was light, and then say, let there be the planets in the solar system, and begin to spin them any way he wants to spin them. Some spin one way, some spin the other. Now tell me how that happened. I'll tell you how it happened. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But I want you to know, he can do all that. He is able. He is able. But if he doesn't do it, guess what? I'm still going to trust him. We may burn in your furnace, O king, but we'll never bow to your idol. He said, enough is enough. Throw them in. As they threw them in, guess what? The Bible said, I told you, those dudes that threw them in burned up. You see, the compromiser always burns up. The compromiser will always fall by the wayside. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. But notice that Jesus did not deliver them from the fiery furnace. He delivered them through the fiery furnace. He showed up. And the king said, whoa, wait just a minute. We threw three men in that furnace. And I see four men in that furnace. And that fourth one looks like the Son of God. I've got news for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. He not only looks like the Son of God, he not only walks like the Son of God, he not only talks like the Son of God, that is the Son of the living God in that furnace, and he will carry you through every furnace and every fiery trial in your life if you'll just trust God. Amen. He'll deliver you through. He doesn't deliver us out of the lion's den. Keeps the lions in there. But he delivered Daniel through the lion's den. The Red Sea experience doesn't keep you from it, but he'll deliver you through it. And the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And yea, though I come to the valley of the shadow of death, he will leadeth me around the valley of the shadow of death into his glorious light. Look it up, it ain't in there. I mean, I'm using ain't a lot, I'm sorry. Y'all say, act like you mind, okay. Keep using ain't. Ain't for the saints. Saint ain't. Doesn't make a bit of sense, I know. But you're listening to me. That's what the important thing is. Yea, though I walk around. Yea, when I get to the valley of the shadow of death, he will lift me up. He will carry me over. And I'll stand on the other side like the hinds feet on the mountain. What it says. Yea, though I get to the valley of the shadow of death, he is going to somehow transport me mysteriously and mystically like he did, Philip. Philip, I mean, he was there and then he wasn't there. That was the first rapture. But anyhow, I mean, here it is. No, it doesn't say that at all. It simply says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's your key right there. You're with me, Lord. And because you're with me, I know I'm going to make it through. Everybody else may fall by the wayside. Everybody else may fall down. Everybody else may backslide. And everybody else may just fall off. But the Bible said the foundation of God standeth sure. And he knows this. He knows them that are his. And I'm one of his sheep. Bah! I'm one of his sheep. And he's the shepherd. And when I come to the valley of the shadow of death, I'm coming through. Amen. You know, I saw somebody earlier and I just now thought about her. Leanna, it's good to see you today. Amen. I got ADD. Amen. I'm a squirrel. I wish a squirrel would come up in here. We might have that Mississippi revival we talked about before church. Amen. Hallelujah. But seriously, we go through. Now, we read the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And the 11th chapter of Hebrews is called the Hall of Faith. Abraham, Noah, Abel, Enoch, and others. And it simply says, through faith, subdued kingdoms. Stopped the mouth of lions. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life. There's no doubt that is the testimony of faith. And every last one of us can stand up and tell of something God's done for you in your life. You can't live for God without having a testimony. Because I know God's got you out of a few things through life. And he's blessed you. And he's healed you at times. But let me tell you something. That's only half of it. And a pancake that's only got one side's an awful thin pancake. Somebody say amen. I want you to know there's another side to your faith. And thank God for the deliverance. And thank God for the quenching of the violence of fire. And thank God for the escape of the sword. And thank God that women had their babies brought back to life. But the other aspect is this. You got to read a little further. And others were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. That just simply means they could have got out of it if they just would have said, Jesus is not Lord, okay? If they would have followed Egypt instead of going out and doing what Moses did. If they would have just rejected the truth of God, they could have escaped it, but they decided it'd be better to be tortured than to live for the devil. That they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned. Not going to say nothing. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these And all, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. Wait a minute, I thought God was always going to deliver me. I thought God was always going to heal me. I thought God was always going to give me a financial blessing. I sent my money in, I paid my tithes, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. It says this is their faith. When it doesn't look like it's really the thing that you wanted, he's still God. And all these obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. That's what it says. I thought every promise I was going to get every. You will, just hang in there. But you see, you're so short-sighted. You only see this earth. It's not about your best life now. It's about eternity, man. You'll be dead a lot longer than you're alive. I promise you that. And I promise you this one thing. Everybody has an eternal soul. It's going to live somewhere. And you know what? If you don't live for God, there's only one alternative, and that you will die and go to hell. But you know what? For those I'm talking about here, thank God. The Bible said they didn't receive the promise. But you know what? They're living in the promise
now. It said that Moses never got to Canaan's land, but Moses did get to Canaan's land eventually. As a matter of fact, Peter looked up and said, I saw Moses over here, and Elijah, he made it. He just didn't make it in his time, and he didn't receive the promise that he had when he was given it, but thank God he has it now.
Amen. God having providing something better thing for us that they should, without us, should be not be made perfect. I met the very man that penned this. I know everybody has an idea. I believe it was Paul. I don't struggle with that. The 11th chapter of Hebrews. The very man that said, by faith, some escaped the edge of the sword. Think about it. He didn't. He was decapitated by a sharp Roman sword. His faith didn't get him out of it. Oh, but let me tell you something. His faith got him through it. Because there he was looking out those prison bars. There's getting that sword sharpened up. All of a sudden he realized in the morning, weeping may endure for the night, but joy's coming in the morning. I'm going to get out of this place. And I'm going to go to be with the Lord. That's what he said, to be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. He even said one time, it's better that I stay for you, but man, I'd rather go on for me. Amen. But I'll stay around a little bit longer. But now he knows he's got a date with destiny. He's preached this gospel. He's planted churches. He upset hell's apple cart. He destroyed the works of the devil. And there in that old Roman prison, he's sitting waiting. He's looking outside that chopping block. They're getting that sword ready. And you know what he said? He didn't say, poor pitiful me. Why me, Lord? You know, I've been faithful to you in the ministry all these years. Lord, this is not what super power man told me on TV. He told me I never had problems like this. I know what's going to happen in the morning. Oh, Lord, you're probably just going to somehow or another, you're going to get me out. I know you're going to get me out. They marched him right on. But you know what? That wasn't his testimony. He wasn't afraid to die. He wasn't afraid of the chopping block. Matter of fact, he welcomed it. Get me out of here. Make my day, man. Get me out of here. Kind of like the guy that was walking down a dark alley and a bad guy jumped out with a gun and said, if you don't give me all your money, he said, I'm going to shoot you in the head. He said, buddy, let me tell you something. Don't you ever threaten me with heaven, okay? I ain't giving you no money, and don't you threaten me with heaven, all right? I want you to know, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So when he looked at it, he said, now I'm ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Can I tell you something? He fought that good fight, and he kept that faith. That's what he's saying. I've kept it. Everything's tried to knock it out of him. Hell tried to knock it out of me, but I kept it. I've been cast down, but I kept it. I've been perplexed, but I kept it. I've been bewildered, but I kept it. I've been troubled on every side, but I kept it. The gale force winds of the adverse winds of the devil have blown against my life, but you know what? Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Nothing shall separate me from the presence of God. And yes, I've kept it in spite of everything, and now I'm ready to be poured out. Oh, yeah, hold on. The end's not yet. Paul had problems. Yeah, he had problems. I'll show you some problems he had. Same problems you have. Looking at the time. We got it? Yeah, we got it. We're troubled. That's what Paul said. We're troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Oh, you know that word right there, perplexed? It means what it means. Perplexed, bewildered, can't figure it out, don't have the answer, don't know why this is happening in my life. But he said, though I am perplexed, I'm not in despair. See, that's the difference. When you have the living God inside and you have the resurrection that abides in your tabernacle, guess what? No matter how bad it gets, you know it's always going to get better. You know you may be cast down, but guess what? You've not been knocked out, because the devil can't knock you out. Do you know that? You're going to stand when all this world's on fire, because God will stand with you. You may be cast down on every side, but let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. Paul said, I may not be able to understand it, but I know this one thing.
He understands it. And if I'll just put my faith and trust in him, if I'll just believe God, yes, we're cast down, and yes, we're troubled on every side, and yes, we're perplexed. All of us are. But just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to live in the land of sunshine and lollipops every day of your life. I want you to know it's not always whistling a tune on a sunny day. Sometimes you've got to walk through the rain, and sometimes you've got to come through the storm, and sometimes you've got to hold on to God when everything inside you says let go. You say, I can't let go because I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I can't let go.
What do you think? Job let go. He's between a bad memory and a backslidden wife. She said, let go. He said, I can't let go. He ain't never done me nothing but good. But it gets dark sometimes. It's a dark time when you're sick in your body. It's a dark time when you're sick in your mind. It's a dark time when you've got financial troubles. Been staying up all night adding up the figures, and it just doesn't seem to want to add. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever live there? I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Matter of fact, I was born, wasn't born with a spoon at all, actually. Never mind. But I know what it's like. I know what it's like. All of you know what it's like. When just $100 could make all the difference in the world. Been there. Been there. If I just had $100. Man, if I had $1,000, I've been there. It would turn my world around. Well, I might as well tell you, if I just had like $50,000, it would turn my world around. I'm not out for your money. I'm out to get you through. Because one day your money's not going to count. But your soul will live on and on and on and on. You see, it just gets real dark when relationships get all messed up. Don't tell me they don't. And relationships that had meaning to you and value to you, all of a sudden, you know, they're destroyed and damaged beyond repair. You've been there. We've all been there. It gets real dark when death comes and snatches a loved one, when despair and hopelessness invade your heart. It can be so intense in your life. As a Christian, you can even begin to wonder, is there a God in heaven? And if there's a God in heaven, well, obviously he doesn't care for me. That's why you got to go back to the Word. Don't go on your feelings. We don't walk by feeling. We don't walk by circumstance. We don't build our theology out of our circumstances. We build our theology in the Word of God. And the Word of God said that God will not fail me. He'll not let me down. I may not understand it today, and I may be weeping tonight, but I thank God the joy will come in the morning. I know it's dark at night, but joy is coming in the morning. The sun will rise, and God will give you a brand new day. If you'll just hold on. Don't sit there and act like you never experienced that. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how sanctified you are. I don't care how anointed you are. How much of the power of the Holy Ghost you have, darkness can surround you. And you'll begin to wonder, is there a God? At least you'll say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So, people have always wrestled with the puzzles of life. People have always wondered from the beginning, why, Lord, why? You see, Paul had a why once. Said, I went to the Lord 3 times, had a thorn in my flesh. I don't know what that was. Nobody knows what that was. Anybody says they know what that was, they don't know what that was because it doesn't say. How are you going to make up something that it doesn't say? But we know it was a thorn, and we know what a thorn does. They stick, they hurt, they get embedded, and it's painful. And he said, 3 times I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, would you remove this thorn from my flesh? See, this is the man that raised people from the dead. This is the guy that can walk in and just a revival or a riot would happen. Now, this is the guy that, you know, preached. I want you to know, he preached so long, a guy fell out of the window and died. Hello? I thought I'd just tell you all that. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't have the power to raise you back from the dead, so you don't fall out on me here, okay? But anyhow, he preached so long that the guy fell asleep. Can you imagine that? And he fell out the window and died. But Paul raised him back to life. But here he is with a thorn in his flesh. What did God tell him all three times? All three times when he said, God, would you remove this thorn from my flesh? God said, my grace is sufficient, son. God, I got a question for you. Could you remove this thorn from my flesh? God says, my grace is sufficient. And God, I know I've asked you twice, but can I pray again? Because, you know, if you don't answer the first time, you keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. That's what the preacher told us to do. And Lord, I want to let you know, I'm really uncomfortable here. I could do a whole lot more in the kingdom if I could get this thorn out of my flesh. And he wasn't even married. Somebody say amen. He just wanted whatever it was. And God said the third time and for the last time, let me tell you something, Paul. My grace is sufficient. What was he saying? You're asking me for the wrong thing. You're asking me to get you out of this situation. But I'm telling you, my grace will carry you through this situation. You don't have an answer, but you don't have to have an answer. I got the answer, God said. Just hold on, hang on, keep preaching. And you know what he said one time? He said, my tribulations have done nothing more but to prosper the gospel. Amen. The bad things that have happened in my life, God turned them out for his glory and his good. And God always gets the glory. And so let God work in your life. And know that God doesn't always pull the thorn out. Sometimes you got to walk through life with a thorn. Amen. My grace is sufficient. There's some things you just don't know. Some things you'll never know. Like the little boy that couldn't understand why God put all the vitamins in spinach. Why? I mean, in his mind, he should have put the vitamins in the ice cream, the Oreo cookies, chocolate almond, pistachio almond ice cream, as a matter of fact. But you know what? He just learned that some things aren't meant to know. When Jesus commanded his servants to fill the water pots with water, it didn't make no sense. They didn't question that. Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. That's a good lesson. Whatever God tells you to do, you do it. Don't ask. Don't worry. He's going to do something. And so they did what he asked. You know, he did what he said. He commanded. And they got those water pots and they filled them full. And I don't have time. We'll get that when we get to John. But let me tell you something. They didn't need water. You understand what I'm saying? They were at a wedding. They needed some wine, baby. I mean, they was ready for a celebration. I just taught on the wedding last two Wednesday nights what a real Hebrew wedding was. And it took days. And you think it's expensive now, you should have lived back in them days. And they had to have all these festivities, but they saved a long time. They didn't get up on Monday and say, well, let's get married on Friday and let's just have a good time. No, they planned it. They were in spouse for a year and they were saving money, saving things, because they had to put on a festival. They had to put on a celebration, but they'd run out of wine. The worst thing, possible thing that could happen in that wedding was that they ran out of wine. They don't need water, they need wine. But Jesus said, fill the water pots up with water. And so they did it. I said, they did it. And I want you to know they trusted God regardless. And I'm just telling you the same thing. Everything that doesn't make sense to you, all you do is have some faith in God. Again, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And if God said he'd bring you through, he'll bring you through. If God said one of these days he's going to change you in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, you're going to leave all your debt, all your problems, all your situations, all the bad relationships. You're going to lose everything in this life that's pulling you down right now when you rise up out of this world. But you got to trust him while everything is pulling on you. Amen. Come back to the instruments. I'm going to do y'all solid. You know what that is? That's street talk, man. I'm going to do you all solid today. Oh, boy. See, there's not always an answer or an explanation to the every why in life. But the Bible does give us revelation. Let me give you two things. See, that was my introduction. Let me give you 2 points. At least that's not 7. Man, it's about 1:15 on Easter. I said, here's 7 points. No. These are points to ponder. Write this down. Understand what I'm saying. Just because things don't make sense to us doesn't mean they don't make sense at all. Does that make sense? Joseph told his brethren, after they'd taken him, threw him in a pit and wanted to kill him. Oldest brother said, we ain't going to kill him, but we'll get rid of him. Thank God for big brother. But we'll get rid of him. And the Bible said he went in there, and you know what happened some years later. They came and bowed down before him because they realized, hey, man, this is Joseph. This is the guy we were trying to kill. This is the guy we would have killed. We sold him into slavery. Please have mercy on us. And he said, get up. You're my brethren. You see, what you don't know is what you meant for my evil, God meant for my good. Boy, that's a strange one, isn't it? See, though it doesn't make any sense, it doesn't mean it doesn't make sense at all. Jacob, when he found out that Jacob was told that Joseph was dead. You know what his statement was? His statement was simply this. Everything is against me. You ever felt like that? Everything is against me. Oh. But let me ask you something. How can all these things be against us when all things work together for our good? It's foolish to think, because we can't understand it. It can't be understood at all. And number two, second and last point, just because things don't make sense to us now doesn't mean they will never make sense. I broke my leg in the breaking of my leg between churches. Resigned on Sunday, broke my leg on a Saturday night. Didn't know where I was going, like Abraham. I broke my leg. One time in my life, I said, God, I don't understand this. You know I can't preach revivals. You know I gotta pay my bills. But I can't do anything. I don't have a church anymore. My little wife looked in the cab of that pickup, saw me with a broken leg. She didn't believe until she saw me breathing in pain. And she said, oh my word, he does have a broken leg. She started crying. She said, God, what are we going to do? I know what she's thinking. How are we going to pay bills? How are we going to take care of our children? How are we going to? Well, it doesn't make any. This is not the right time to break your legs. Not before you go to a church and become a candidate. You might want to do that while you're still pastoring, while you still have insurance and all that stuff. But I broke it. Did God break my leg? No, God didn't break my leg. But God knew my leg was going to get broken. Guess what? He turned it out for his glory. What the devil meant for my evil, God turned for my good. I told my wife that night, as she looked in there, and I was in lots of pain. But all of a sudden, the faith of God rose up in my heart, and I said, let me tell you something. She said, what are we going to do? I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go forward. That's what we're going to do. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to be like Moses when he came to the Red Sea, and the devil was behind him. There was mountains beside him and a Red Sea in front of him. What you going to do now, Moses? God said, I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to pick up that rod, smoke that water, and walk through on dry ground. And Moses said, we're going forward, amen. And I want you to know you can go forward in spite of your circumstance, in spite of the devil. And you may think you're sitting still, but let me tell you something, you're not sitting still. If the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, you're walking with him, he's walking with you, and he'll carry you through. And one day it'll make sense. It makes a lot of sense to me now, and I won't have time to tell you why it makes sense, why all I had to go through all that. But you know what? Early Sunday morning, I got a text from a church called Central Assembly of God, and they said, we're looking to call you because we want you to come preach. I broke it Saturday night. God was in that. How many can see God in that? I showed up with a broke leg. Rest is history. It's going to work out. You got to see it God's way. Like the hand-sewed bookmarker that I see. It was worn and ragged on one side. If you just had looked at that one side, you'd say, man, that's an ugly looking bookmarker you got there. But if you flipped it over, it's beautiful. I said, God is love. Just as simple as that, God is love. And we often look at the wrong side of God's provision. God's in it. But here's the deal. You may not understand it in this world. But as the old song said, you'll understand it better by and by. See, no one eats flour by itself. No one drinks sour milk. No one just gets them a cup full of soda. I'm not talking about pop. I'm talking about baking soda. Hey, baby, bring me a glass of baking soda, please. Nobody just takes a handful of salt. I used to when I was a kid. I liked salt so good. But it's not a really smart thing to do. But very few of us would do that. Just take some salt and start eating it. But let me tell you something. If you take all those ingredients, if you mix them all up properly, guess what? You put them in the oven, you can get you the best southern biscuits you ever laid your eyes on or your teeth in. And I suggest you get you some of that red eye gravy to go with it. Don't forget the gravy. But nobody eats just the ingredients. No, they mix it together. And sometimes that's all we're seeing, just the simple ingredients in our life. We see the soda. We see the salt. We see all the other stuff. And we say, God, I don't understand this. I mean, this is hard. It's like I got salt in the wound. It feels like what I'm eating is soda. Let me tell you something. It's all going to work out because God's going to take all the ingredients in life, put them together, and guess what? It'll all come out right in the light of eternity. If you'll trust God, God will bring you through the night. If you'll trust God and not let go and have faith in God, He'll carry you through every time. I like to use the words of Ezekiel in closing, because Ezekiel put it. You guys are going to have to. I think somebody did that on purpose. I'm just kidding. But the words of Ezekiel. And God said, can these dry bones live again? Son of man, can these dry bones live? And I answered. I like his answer. This is the perspective I like right here. This is what I like. My own microphone. Praise God. Oh Lord God, thou knowest. He said, God, I can't say yes, and I can't say no. Because, Lord, I do know that, you know, those bones aren't a mirage. That's reality. And I know the difference between life and death, and I know the difference between victory and defeat, and I know the difference between sickness and health, and I know the difference between coming out and going down. Not real sure. Sometimes, but I know this, you know, Lord. That's a safe way of answering it. I'm just not going to get myself on a limb out here, God, because you know. You know. Oh, you know, God. You can speak a word and dead bones will come to life. You can speak a word and dead men will live. You can speak a word and the rose will bloom in the desert. You can speak a word and the night will pass and the morning will come and joy will come with the morning. You can speak a word, Lord, and you could get me out of this fiery furnace, or you can just show up in the fiery furnace and just put a blanket of asbestos on me, Lord. I just know this fiery trial I'm going through, I'm not going to think it's strange because thou knowest what I'm going through and why I am. God, you know everything. You know my setting up, my setting down, my rising up and setting down. You know my labor, you know my leisure. You know when I'm coming, when I'm going. I just know, God, you know. I don't know sometimes, and I don't know where to go. Sometimes it seems like the door is closed, and sometimes it seems like heaven doesn't answer, and sometimes it seems like, you know, the family doesn't understand, the friends can't help me, and my money just won't go any longer or any farther than it's going right now. But I know this one thing. I know that God has everything in control. Thou knowest, Lord. You know, because you know
know the very hair on my head is numbered. You know every one of them. You've got them measured and you've got them numbered. I may have lost a lot of them, but thank God I know you know exactly how many are there today. You see everything, Lord. You knowest.
That's saying I trust you, God. I simply trust you, God. For he neither sleeps nor slumbers, or slumbers nor sleeps. So why are you going to stay up all night worrying about everything? Ain't no reason for both of y'all staying up because he doesn't sleep. You might as well just trust him. Go to bed. And joy will come in the morning. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name.